Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right. Welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells. Joining me in the dugout, my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
Getting a call up from the minors today, my third son, Thompson.
Sup.
Say that again.
Sup.
Oh, there's the mic. Are you on 5? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on 5, not on 4. All right. And joining us by phone from the bullpen, our pal Chris Zook. Welcome back, Chris Zook.
Hello, sir.
So, obviously, the biggest stuff that happened this week, we led into it last week with kind of some speculation about the trade deadline and all our thoughts about Marcus Stroman not getting traded, and then what do you know?
He got traded for what pretty much could have been myself and Chris Zook.
Okay, I got to start this with Brian here. What is going on with the Blue Jays? Why would you do this trade?
So correct me if I'm wrong.
What did they get?
But like,
they
what
got
is
nothing?
What is baseball? What is baseball at the core? It's basic other than the world's longest, most obscure game of tag.
Pitching and hitting.
Well, I mean, it's entertainment.
Okay.
It's entertainment. Okay. And so
sports entertainment, like WWE.
Sure, whatever, however you want to call it, but it is entertainment, right? And so your job is to keep the fans entertained. And so while sometimes teardowns are successful and sometimes you can occasionally get away with it with like either fan bases that aren't very good because nobody's there in the first place, like the Astros, or, you know, teams with diehard, longstanding fan bases like the Cubs, I'm not sure you can really get away with it with fair weather fan bases like Toronto and Jays fans. And I'm not – you go ahead and you trade – 3 fan favorites for a literal bag of Cracker Jack? Like,
I don't know what
that actually might have been a better return, Brian.
I think I would have preferred the Cracker Jack
because you could have sold the Cracker Jack.
Yeah, at least that would have been more entertaining.
You could have sold the Cracker Jack. Aaron Sanchez is going to become a top reliever for the Houston Astros. He has an elite spin rate, and the Jays pitching staff, for whatever reason, kept telling him to throw a sinker that wasn't working for him. Now watch. Watch what's going to happen. He's got a plus fastball with a high spin rate and an elite 12-6 spin rate curveball that the Astros are going to utilize. He's going to throw his four-seamer up in the zone, and he's going to throw more of his curveball. He's going to become an elite reliever, and we're all going to sit there and be like, oh, geez, I had no idea that this possibly could have happened. And Shapiro and Atkins are going to be sitting there with a quad A bat in Derek Fisher because they just love toolsy outfielders. See Billy McKinney, see Teoscar Hernandez, see Randall Grichuk. I can keep going on and on and on. And we're going to be sitting there with a pitcher who, in Anthony Kay, is never going to be as good as Marcus Stroman, and Simeon Woods Richardson, who is likely going to be a big league reliever, but that's it. Like, so I can't even explain these moves to myself. and I'm a Jays fan.
Okay, but here's the thing, Brian, but the Stroman one especially, why do they go so early? It seems like the leverage they just gave, I don't know what, they got the first offer and they just took it? Like, I mean, it's crazy what they gave up for what the return is. It just doesn't make any sense.
I agree. So, question. Who do you think is, and it's okay if you say, I'm not sure, they're too close to call. Who do you think is the better pitcher, Marcus Stroman or Trevor Bauer?
Oh, well, I would take Stroman just because of the outside factor of Bauer, who likes to throw baseballs over the center field when he's upset.
But
I don't know if you want that in the dugout.
Talent-wise and stats-wise, they're very similar.
Yeah.
Right? So, and look at the huge return that Cleveland got back for trading away Trevor Bauer.
An amazing return.
If you're telling me, I could have had Yasiel Puig and Franmil Reyes, I would have rather have had Yasiel Puig and Franmil Reyes than what they got. I just don't get it. I do not understand what Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are doing. I do not understand, other than ruining my favorite baseball team.
I love when Brian gets angry.
So you describe them as fair weather fans, and whether you can pull a stunt like this with a team like this. I mean, I guess the Shapiro has the luxury or benefit of the fact that this is a team with a lock on a national broadcasting revenue stream and audience, right?
They are going to be.
I feel like they can kind of pull this stunt,
right?
Because of that, right? Kansas City, which is going to have a regional Fox Missouri deal or something.
They're in a lot more trouble when the market crashes. Yeah,
it doesn't work the same on the economic front as a Toronto team does, which has MLSE.
I guess that's
Rogers behind it.
I guess that's fair, but at the same point in time, they're barely putting 10,000 people in the stands. they're in Tampa Bay Rays, Miami Marlins territories of attendance right now. And while you're getting great, returns television-wise, And the thing is I used to be able to see the future, right? You could see the future and say, okay, the bats are going to come up, and it's going to be Vlad, and it's going to be Bo, and it's going to be Biggio, and it's going to be Rowdy, and it's going to be Lourdes, and it's going to be Jansen. And, you're going to have Stroman. And you're going to have Biagini, and you're going to have Sanchez, and you're going to be able to build a team around that. And that is a team that you can see doing something. I don't know if it's something necessarily winning a championship, but it's maybe something push for a wild card spot. It's maybe something make the playoffs. But where's the next great Jays pitcher coming from? Who is the next great Jays pitcher, and how far away are they?
So speaking of seeing the future, are we just giving the World Series trophy to the Astros now?
No. I mean, listen, they're by far and away the favorites, and I really, really like what they did. I mean, getting Greinke, getting Sanchez, getting Biagini, all fantastic moves. And their pitching staff is going to, Greinke's already a superstar, but they're going to turn those other two guys into bullpen superstars. But the playoffs is just too much of a dice roll. It's too much down to luck for me to say that they're absolutely 100% going to win. So, yeah.
Let's say this. Those three that they can start now in the playoffs, it's pretty formidable, right?
I mean Cy Young candidates every single year.
Right, and you're talking about, I'm trying to think of who I saw earlier this week who kind of, maybe it was Rosenthal, who I guess first broke the news about the trade via Twitter, but there was a piece about basically their front three that they would conceivably start as their postseason rotation, all three in baseball references FIP I think are top 10.
Yes,
all three of them.
Yeah, and I mean Greinke has found a nice little old man game that he's got going on where he's turned into a really, really insanely good finesse pitcher.
Well, he's always been a finesse. This is the thing. This is a guy who threw speed when he was younger, but also had the sense to mix it up. Has always had amazing arsenal, and once hit every mile per hour on the radar gun between 70 and 100 in a game just to see if he could.
Yeah. He's really smart, and I can't wait to see what he does with that with the advanced pitching team that the Astros have. Verlander, of course, we know is still an absolute superstar, and Gerrit Cole is currently like on pace to strike out the most batters per nine over the course of an entire season. And they have a great bullpen, right? Like, once Ryan Pressly comes back, I don't really want to talk about Roberto Osuna, but they still have, like, a lot of other really good relief pitchers.
No, this is the thing. I mean, obviously he has a knee problem, but they will get Pressly back at some point, and
right.
He's been phenomenal.
They're going to turn Sanchez into a bullpen guy.
And I was going to ask, what do you think, as someone who's followed Sanchez and Biagini?
Well, Biagini's going to be really good. He's got a high spin rate fastball, and he's got some good put-away pitches, movement-wise, that the Astros are just going to improve on even more.
What are you doing with your phone there, Zook?
He's going to be...
Sorry.
You need a handheld or something?
He's going to be, you know, a fireman-type guy for them. He's going to come in and pitch two or three innings at a time, and he's going to be great. And I think they're going to do the same thing with Sanchez, right? Like, I mean, he's got the elite put-away stuff, right? If he stops throwing his sinker and focuses more on throwing his fastball up in the zone and throwing a lot more of his curveball, which is a plus-plus pitch, he's going to be great. And that's exactly what the Astros are going to do. They're going to look at him, they're going to go to him and say, hey, we're going to put you in the bullpen, you're going to throw one at a time, throw your fastball as hard as you possibly can, and put guys away with your curveball. And, you know, he's going to be very good. He's going to be very good. And the only thing that stopped the Jays from doing that is that they still needed starting pitching. I think that putting him in the bullpen is probably going to, you know, curb the blister issues too, because he's not going to need to throw so many freaking pitches. Listen, the Jays got fleeced. The Jays got fleeced on every single trade that they made, and is, you know, there's Shapiro and Atkins claiming that they're geniuses and so much smarter than everybody else, and that we just can't see the vision that they see. But until I see it, I just won't believe it.
Yeah, I would put my stock in the genius and vision of someone like the Astros and Luna, because, you know,
he's proved it.
They have a really strong farm system. Their core are young phenoms, like, so they really have like a backlog of talent, mm-hmm. and they didn't have to give up the top talent to make these trades.
So they went out there and they got Zach Greinke, Aaron Sanchez, Joe Biagini, and a good prospect from the Jays, and. You know, to get all these guys, they didn't give up any of their top three prospects.
Right, like Kyle Tucker.
Still an Astro.
Still yeah. an Astro.
And on the top of it, Arizona's going to pay Houston for some of Greinke's contract. It's unbelievable. Like, I mean, like, and you got to think, if you're a Yankee fan and a Dodger fan, that they were supposed to make moves here, right? They didn't make any major moves. And, yeah, I mean, it looks like on paper, Houston given the title, and Brian's right. The baseball is much more where it's not like basketball, where if you get the star player, you're going to win the title. But that said, oh my goodness, like, if I'm in the AL West, I'm like, well, we're playing for second for a long time here, right? Because it just, not only this year, but yeah, like you're saying, in the future, I mean, this team is stacked.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, getting into the playoffs is getting into the playoffs, right? Like, you give yourself a chance every single time you get in. And so, like, you can't guarantee that, you know, all this stuff is going to win the Astros the championship. You can't. But it definitely makes it really hard for any other team to beat them in three games, right? Like, it's tough. It's really tough.
So, looking at other teams and the trade deadline, I think, uniformly, the declared biggest loser in baseball Twitterverse is the Yankees for standing pat.
Yeah, I kind of agree with this, and it's not just the Yankees, but I think it's every single other AL contender that didn't go out and do something, because you had two teams that went out there and did a lot, right? You had two teams in the Astros and the Cleveland Lindors, Titos, whatever you want to call it, that went out there and did a lot and really made a jump. So I think that every other team that's really trying to make a push for the playoffs that didn't go out and do something got hurt by this. The Red Sox, the Yankees.
And I'm going to tell you right now, for Michael there, like the Twins
are losers too.
Like, you know, they're in a battle now. They're only three games up on Cleveland. Everyone knew it was going to get a little bit tighter. And to stand pat, I know they picked up two relievers.
And they did need to address the bullpen
last night. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, Romo's not bad, but it's just, you know, I mean, if you're going to be all in, then you got to be all in. And
I didn't think they'd make. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I wanted them to do with pitching.
Mike. They didn't make any bad trades. In fact, they made some good trades to get Romo and Dyson. But I don't necessarily think they did enough to hold off.
And yes, there was a blown save. But, like, that's going to happen. It just so happened last night, right on the heels of this, right?
But those weren't
I would have liked
guys.
Them to pursue.
Those weren't elite guys, yeah.
No, but, like, as it was, I think a lot of the elite guys, the prices that other teams were trying to extract, like, you know, my ideal would have been for them to go after Will Smith from the Giants. And the Giants traded, like, everyone else but Will Smith.
Right.
But as far as the like, rumor mill is, the asking price was just too much. And this is a team that's got a real, like, the Twins have a really nice farm system too. They have five guys in the top 100.
Yep.
You know, they're excited about kind of the prospect coming down the pipe, and they didn't want to risk that.
No, I guess so.
You know, looking at Cleveland improved. Absolutely. No question. As good as Bauer has been, conceivably getting rid of him might be like a net increase for that team.
Right.
Adding some really strong bats.
Two really good
already
ones.
Saw, you yeah. know, the effect of those bats. That's great. But also, you know, we looked at, you know, post All-Star break to the end of July, what was the schedule like? After the trade deadline, I pulled up the Cleveland schedule and the Twins schedule. The Twins ends up being softer.
Yeah, it is.
There are, like, I mean, they're about to play the Royals this weekend.
I'm going to be there.
But they've got, like, many more games against, like, sub-500 teams.
Yes. Yep.
And Cleveland, yes, they're it's much closer than it used to be. But okay. I think there's room. And
sure.
They continue to, you know, put up decent hitting statistics. Like, their run differential is still very solid.
Yes.
I'm going to say a couple of things about this. You're being a nice Twins fan right now, Michael, because you can't sugarcoat this. I mean, this is the year they have a chance. Like, they haven't had a chance in many, many, many
9 years.
Years, right?
I know. I know.
And so the problem is do you mortgage the future for the present? I don't know how you could not. I get it. They're being prudent and all this stuff. But the problem is if you don't do something this year, then you go back to the wilderness, then what?
I don't know if they go back to the wilderness.
I don't think they go back to the wilderness either. This team is good, and this team is built to be good for a long time, and you don't know.
When do you make the stand to say, okay, we're actually going to really make it? Like,
I think they did. I think they did. I don't think they did enough, but I think that they did. Going out and trading prospects to shore up, to get Sergio Romo and Sam Dyson, those are moves. Those are moves you make when you are trying to go in for the playoffs. Like, I'm not sitting here and saying that they did enough, but they certainly made an effort.
This wasn't like the Nationals, basically, like, no. Completely like revamping their bullpen.
And like, where else other than bullpen stuff, which showed that it was really tough to get good bullpen arms and very expensive to get good bullpen arms. Where else could they have improved? Strength all around the diamond.
You know, obviously, like, when you see Zach Greinke and that the price that the Astros paid, and we needed to address starting pitching, you do wonder, like, what deal they could have done with Arizona to make that happen.
To me, Syndergaard
wasn't on the table.
That to me, like,
right? I get that they weren't on the table, but could they have been? If you put in Buxton or something, like, I mean, I'm talking about, like, make a big, big move, right? And that's the thing. I get
you
what
want,
you're saying. But
you want that defense that Buxton provides in that outfield for
the
whomever's on
not,
the mound.
Yeah, when he's on the field. The problem is, Michael, he's not on the field all the time. Like, he hasn't made a full year ever, right? And so the thing is, when is his...
I don't necessarily know that that matters. He's still a plus player. He's still there all the time. He's still there enough to be a plus player.
But when he's playing, I'm saying is, well, his value could be at his highest right now, and you could have got an ace. Possibly, right? I we don't know, and all this. I just feel a bit like, you know, they got what they could, and that's fine. It's just like, you know, when you have a chance and you see your rivals around you, like, it's just going to be tough, I think, for the Twins now. I think, you know, especially they better win the division, because if they're a wild card, like, that's
so Buxton is still Buxton's still probably going to play 135 games this year. That's still a lot. I mean, it's not obviously like a full season, but that's still like a decent amount of games.
Yeah.
That's not
with the modern
nothing.
IL and this, like, short term
That's not nothing. Thing. That is good.
But I'm saying over his years, he hasn't played a ton. Like he is.
But he's also still young.
Yeah, no, I don't think the Buxton was. They have a lot of outfield prospects, Cave, Kirilloff, that I think would have made better trade chips. You know, getting Greinke or Stroman might have been just after seeing what Stroman went for. That might have been the one.
That's the one that burns.
Yeah.
You know, you do wonder, but of course, in that circumstance, he was traded out of the league, right? He was traded to the National League.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that,
and I don't know if Shapiro and co were like fixated, because obviously they dealt some pitchers to the Astros, but they really dealt the best of the three out of the only out of the division, but out of the league.
But yeah, I think. As far as like real big losers go, I think the biggest loser out of all of them is Boston, who the only thing they did this entire deadline week, whatever you want to call it, was bring in Andrew Kashner. They're 3.5 games out of the wild card spot, and they didn't do nearly enough to improve to try and get there.
Yeah, now leading up to, like, I think it was last week I quoted that Dave Dombrowski quote that said, like, we're going to stand pat. Like, they had basically indicated they weren't in, whereas the Yankees were clearly pursuing, like, they were linked to or mentioned in pretty much any... like high value starting pitcher trade that was on out there.
Well, because they need it,
yeah. And they didn't get any of them. So to me, like not trying and just standing pat versus like we've put in effort and got nowhere. That's the one that's like the bigger of the two losers.
I mean, can they both be equal losers
in this case?
Because like getting Andrew Cash.
Hey, I have no problem declaring these two teams co-losers.
When you're 3.5 games out of the playoffs, out of a wild card spot, you are the defending World Series champions. You are a record, like a record setting offense last year. You almost won a record amount of games, and you're going to probably miss the playoffs. That is unacceptable if you're a Red Sox fan. That should be unacceptable if you're the Red Sox front office. And yeah, I mean, we hate the Yankees here, and they did bad business on the deadline, but they're still probably going to make the playoffs. In fact, they're
going to win the division.
They're going to win the division. So, you know, that's bad, and the fact that, you know, you're going to get Pedro Severino back in September, and he's probably not going to be a starter for them this year because he's not going to get stretched out in time. So you're staring down the barrel of a Tanaka, Hap, Sabathia? Domingo Herman starting rotation, but at the same time, you still have like the elite bullpen in the American League.
You might go to the bullpen faster, right? In the playoffs,
you might mess with the Rays opener rather than closer.
Well, I mean, they have been right because they've been having Green open games for them. You could ostensibly just run an entire bullpen game
and just play,
right? Have Green pitch an inning, have Severino pitch three, and then in the fifth. Inning onwards, you just have, you know, Tommy Canley
string it together.
Yeah, right.
Hey, can I say one thing? Is I want to go back to a winner about this Atlanta Braves. They got a couple of really good pitchers, relievers. I thought for very little, and they were struggling with their relief pitching since I had Jackson as one of my guys in the fantasy league, and he's been not very good lately. So I thought picking up Green and
I don't necessarily know if I'd call him a huge winner, but I commend what they did. They did some okay business.
But we're talking about what Minnesota needs to do. They shored up a lot of what they've been lacking is their bullpen, right? And so they got three very good back end pitchers, right? So they can use at multiple, you know, areas. And I think that's what you got to do. If you think you're close, you got to try and make it and within reason, right?
And obviously that the NL East, there was a lot of movement, right? You know, you saw the Mets pick up Stroman. They've won 13 of their last 17. The Nationals completely revamped their bullpen.
The Phillies were bad, though. The Phillies are absolutely a loser.
Granted that, but like it's a pretty volatile NL East right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, good on the Braves for making some sort of move to address things because they have to in order to like keep up.
Yeah.
I will say, but going back to circling back to Cleveland and Minnesota, like so Cleveland obviously added some bats, but there's still a lot of question marks around their pitching right now. First of all, they trade Bauer. Who is a solid pitcher for all his off-field antics and throwing the ball away. Danny Salazar came back.
Still hurt. Allegedly.
Carrasco, this, like, blood...
Holding out hope for him.
Issue. I mean,
tough.
I certainly don't wish him ill will in terms of, like, health. but it impacts, you know, the pitching that they're starting out there.
Yeah, I think they're going to be healthy come playoff time, though.
You really think so?
Yeah, I mean, like, Shane Bieber is still good. Corey Kluber will be back and healthy. Mike Clevenger will be back and healthy, and that's enough, right? Like, if Salazar comes back and is healthy, that's gravy. But Kluber, Bieber, Clevenger, that is enough for a playoff rotation. Plus, they still have, like, it's an okay bullpen.
I'll grant you that. I'm going to tip my cap to one Nathan Patterson, who was in the pitcher's challenge, speed pitch challenge at a Rockies game. Just like he and his brother and some friends were there. He dialed up a 96 mile per hour, got on social media, his brother posted it, and the A's have signed him to a minor league deal to see where that goes.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to tip my cap to Clayton Kershaw and maybe pour one out for Sandy Koufax as Kershaw eclipses him as the all-time Dodgers strikeout leader earlier this week. And I want to encourage folks to head over to our friends at CJNU this weekend to listen to the Goldeyes on the road at Fargo playing the Red Hawks. Always a hot series over the long weekend. And encourage you to follow along or visit the Goldeyes on Twitter and Instagram to kind of keep tabs on the fish as they face the Birds this weekend.
Yep. Always a fun series. I'm going to be in Minneapolis to check out the Twins and the Royals.
Joe Nathan bobblehead tomorrow, Brian.
I'm not going to be there for that.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We're driving down there, so I guess it depends.
There's a pin on Sunday, I believe.
Yeah, it depends on how we're feeling, but we're heading out at probably about 10:30 on Saturday morning, so I doubt that we'll be down there in time to get in for that. But we're definitely going to the game on Sunday, so I'll be back to report on that.
I hope all of you have a great long weekend. Enjoy the sunshine and the baseball that's on offer, whether it's locally or on the television. And thanks to Thompson for sitting in today.
You're welcome.
He was great.
He was fantastic.
Very patient.
Best one about all of us.
Yeah, hottest takes, that's for sure. Or at least the ones that'll hold true the longest. What's that, Tom?
Hottest takes.
That's it for us. What do we say, Chris Suk?
We're going to play ball.